Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind for Army Wives by Army Wives. I'm your host, Caroline Schaefer. Today is Monday, August 13th, 2018, and this is show number 659.
And I am your co-host, Courtney Shepherd. We have a great show planned for you this evening. Our featured guest is author Siobhan Fallon. Siobhan will share with us about her new novel, The Confusion of Languages, which is about two American Army spouses who find themselves navigating cultural miscommunications in Jordan during Arab Spring. Connect with Siobhan on social media, on Facebook at Siobhan Fallon Author, Twitter at Siobhan M. Fallon, Instagram at Siobhan Fallon Writer, and at her website, www.siobhanfallon.com. Also coming up in just a few minutes is our News 6 Lisa. She'll be calling in with your need-to-know news.
So if you're listening to our show live right now, we invite you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. You can comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, hang out and chat with the AWN core team. So head over to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network, but make sure you use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. And then all the links mentioned in the show tonight will also be posted in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
All right, guys, tonight's show is brought to you by your AWN core team. We are a dedicated group of volunteers who are passionate about empowering you in this military life. You can get to know us through our bios over on armywifenetwork.com, or you can follow each of us individually on Twitter. You can get a behind-the-scenes look into our Army lives because we're really just like you.
That's true. Courtney, we haven't actually, first of all, we've never hosted and co-hosted together, so this is exciting.
Oh, yes. I don't think we have before.
I don't think we have. I don't think we have. So before we move on, tell me what's been going on in your household and over in Oklahoma.
Oh, yes. In the Shepherd household, we are we are surviving and with a little bit of thriving. I have actually done some new things in preparation for school starting and my hubby coming home from deployment soon. So, hoo-ha for that, right?
Yay!
I think last week I had just like, I was thinking about all of the things coming up in the fall season, right? School starting and activities and extracurriculars, and then deployment is ending and holiday season is going to begin. And I just really took a step back and just had like a mindful look over my whole life right now. And this is going to get really Oprah here in a second, but I feel like in this day and age, like maybe there's a listener out there that feels this way and maybe needs to hear it. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know, God's putting it on my heart and I feel like I have to say it, but yeah. I've been having some medical issues lately with my migraines. And I decided to go get an MRI done, and my follow-up for that was at the end of this month, and my doctor just contacted me today, and he wants to move it up to Friday. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we will see. But wow. I really was trying to think about the school year, my husband coming home, and the stress that comes with the upcoming season, you know? And given, you know, like reintegration after deployment, like sometimes that can be stressful. And obviously the school year starts getting hectic, you know, from the very beginning, you know, all of us moms know that. And I really just thought about what clicked in my head was to take a hiatus from social media. So I'm doing it. I've actually been almost social media free, except for a few important endeavors that I do participate in daily. I have been spending less than 20 to 30 minutes a day on all social media platforms. And I feel this huge rock has lifted off my chest, like huge weight lifted. So with the new school year starting, you know, and deployment coming to an end, I feel like it's really put my head in a good spot, you know, for all of that and really given me some focus and a clear head. Have you ever taken a break from social media before?
I have. I actually, because I ran social media for a club sport for some athletic teams for a couple of years, I don't even have Facebook on my phone anymore. Because I do Instagram, but I do the same thing there. I only have Snapchat, so I can. It sounds awful, but so I can talk to my 20-year-old. I guess I send a little bitmoji because I'm weird like that because they're so cute. I have been feeling the exact same way that you're talking about. There's, it can get really just yucky when I get on there. And, you know,
I
understand. Yeah. And I don't have any little kids. Yeah. I can't imagine if I were a mom with little kids what it would feel like.
Oh, I don't know how I did it. I really don't. I don't know how I ever made it happen, really. I really don't. Like,
because it can consume so much of your time. And then you start comparing. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I start comparing myself, you know.
Oh, the comparison game is strong.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I really
just, the mom shaming. And, yeah. Oh, you did?
Yes.
You deleted Snapchat?
I deleted Snapchat. Mm-hmm. I turned off all my notifications. I was like, I am done with this. And I feel like I'm spending way more time with my kids. I'm spending way more time with the Word. I'm spending way more time with myself, just myself, you know? And and I feel like it's really healthy. It's a really good thing, you know? So.
Yeah.
What about you?
Awesome.
What's going on in here? I'm sorry?
I was going to say, but now your husband, but you have a deployment ending soon, don't you?
Yes.
Like,
I do.
Yes, is it? So how soon are we talking?
So we're talking within 30 days. You know, OPSEC reasons, we'll keep hush hush, but within 30 days, we'll talk about that. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. That's so great.
Yes,
oh, my gosh.
I'm so ready.
That you're excited. How long has he been gone?
Since January 2018. So 9 months. 9.5 months.
Mm-hmm. It's like a pregnancy.
Yeah. And thank the sweet Lord above that I was not pregnant during all of this. Oh, because we would have
had
some problems on our hands. Yes. Thankfully, I was not with child during this whole ordeal. Thank you very much.
I mean, can you imagine, though, there's probably somebody who the entire length of the deployment. And
I've got friends that have done it, and I'm prayers for you, honey. Prayers for you all the way. All my prayers are for you. One of my girlfriends actually had three already, and then she had a baby through a deployment. She was pregnant and had the baby during deployment and already had three children. I was like, you are a warrior.
Yeah.
Warrior. Yes. Yes,
wow.
I was like, you
that's
go,
amazing.
Girl. Three boys.
Yeah.
Three boys, and then she had a girl. I was like, oh, bless you.
So you have, are your kids, I'm sure your kids are excited.
Oh, my kids are ecstatic.
Yeah.
They're so ready. And my little one, my little one's only three, so she's, Mommy, are we going to go to Daddy's house? I'm like, this is Daddy's house. No, to Daddy's house. I'm like, no, this is Daddy's house. She's so little, you know, she's so little. She has no idea what's going on. And she's like, what are you talking about? Daddy's not even here right now. This is, she said, no, Mama, this is my house. We have to go to Daddy.
Right.
I'm like, no, child.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Kids say the cutest things.
Mm-hmm. And the craziest.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. Well, I guess you asked me a minute ago what's going on in my world, and I will just take a minute. I don't want to take too much time, but I realized today, 20 years ago this week, is when I was in the hospital with congestive heart failure. And I know I've talked about that on the show before, I think briefly, but so I was in the hospital for 7 days, and they basically sent me home and said, so here's your prognosis. You have 2 to 5 years to live, or you'll just have a massive heart attack and die, or you'll have to wait for a heart transplant, and only 1 in 10 people get those. So go get your stuff in order, and we'll see you later. And it's been 20 years. It's been 20 years, and I say this, I think, every time, because I never, ever want to make light of the fact that I know people pray for miracles every day. And I know that they ask the question, why did, you know, like, why, Lord? Like, why? You know, when things happen. And, I mean, I've, you know, watched children die of cancer, and I can't answer those questions. I don't know. But it makes me even more grateful, right, that I asked, I said, I promised myself I wasn't going to cry. I said, Lord, I just want to watch my kids grow up.
Yes.
And I got to. And I'm a grandma, too.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm still here. And then, so tonight I went and now I'm going to volunteer to coach 7- and 8-year-olds flag football because I don't apparently have enough kids to take care of anymore.
Right.
And I just, you know, because honestly, life is not, it's explained for people that know that about me once they've encountered me, I suppose you could say. That's why I am so passionate about experiencing life and relationships and why I feel like authenticity and genuineness and being transparent is so important. And
of course,
it's hard, but it's important.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think so. But you know, and staying off social media, I have to do the same thing. I have to monitor those things with myself because I'm not going to get sucked down that rabbit hole because life's too important. There's so much out there. There's so much out there. Well, and
so much that your mind isn't even thinking about.
It's true because we're so distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're so distracted by all those other little bitty things, and it's like, no, you're missing life. If you're watching everybody else's, and you're missing yours. So I think I might jump on board with your 30 minutes today, Courtney. If that's okay,
do it, girl,
and see how it goes. So on the block, So one of the things we were talking about, and as military spouses, and I found it interesting because the blog this week, as I was reading it. You know, hot on the blog is the story by our AWN expert contributor, Kelly Gunderman, and she's from Military Spouse Corporate Career Network. And she was talking about that loneliness is by far the most shared of our emotions among military spouses. And I'm pretty sure, actually, social media might contribute to that. I don't know. That's not what she says. But after reading her her blog, because she gave 8 essential ways to combat loneliness and to overcome it. And I found her blog really, really interesting. And so for anybody who's interested, they can read the rest of Kelly's story by heading over to our blog at armywifenetwork.com and look for her post
Confessions of a Lonely Military Spouse. So I'm going to guess in the 9 months that your husband's been gone, there's probably been a time or two because I've never even been in the same room with you, but every time I've talked to you on the phone, your personality is so contagious, I just want to hug you and I can't see you. But it doesn't mean you haven't gotten lonely while your husband's been gone. How have you dealt with it? How have you fought?
You're probably going to make me cry now, so I guess we're taking turns. So we're going to take turns crying now.
Okay,
here's the baton. You start to well up, you know, just the floodgates are open. No, I really, you know what, Caroline, the easiest way to answer this question is how I avoid loneliness is I don't avoid it. I try to, I try to picture, I try to picture the homecoming day.
Yeah.
And in that moment, you know, we've all experienced it. Most of us have experienced deployment and deployment homecoming. And in that very moment that you're running up to your husband and you give him a big hug and a big kiss, you're not lonely. You're together. You're, you know, embraced with each other. And whenever I put my mind in that feeling and in that situation, in that day, I don't feel lonely. And honestly, I have told my husband before on one of our very short phone calls, I said, you know, I feel more connected with you right now while you're all the way on the other side of the world than most couples who are sitting in the same room with each other are right now. And it's because I constantly put my mind in the homecoming day. I'm constantly putting my mind in the connection again. And so to combat loneliness is to think of a time where you're not lonely and your mind will go there. And, you know, it's okay to dream like that. You know, it's okay to, it's not fictional. It's going to happen, you know. So put yourself there and imagine it. And then I think about it every day for 9 months I have been lonely, but I have put myself into a time where I'm not. So really helped me a ton, actually.
Yeah. That's awesome. Because you can't always, I heard somebody talk about grief. So in some ways, I mean, your loneliness is part of grieving, regardless of what that grief is, right? And they talked about if you're standing in the ocean, which I like the ocean, but I'll be honest, I don't like to stand in it. And but you're like dried, and then you have this kind of when the tide rolls in. So when the tide rolls in, not the kind that knocks you over, because that's a whole nother discussion that we would need another show for that. But the kind that it comes up on you, and then it goes back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and it's come and it's gone. But it's interesting because that also. Being lonely leads into the next thing that we were talking about that we're going to talk about, even though we've talked about social media already, but this week's social media roundup is something I know you're going to tell us about. And this leads into the next question, which should combat loneliness, I think.
I think this week's social media roundup is all about friendship. So August 5th was National Friendship Day. We asked our followers on Facebook and Twitter, how do you make friends after a move? If you haven't posted your answer yet, you can still head over to Facebook or Twitter pages to share your love for great friends with us. So, Caroline, do you find it difficult to make friends after PCSs?
No. Sorry. I mean, okay, sort of, but not really, no. Not really. No, because I'll talk to anybody. I mean, that's not true, but What about you?
For sure.
What about you?
Oh, it's actually pretty easy. It's pretty easy. Just because now I've done it so many times, I know to get out of the house. Tip. Get out of the house.
Just get out there and make connections.
Just get out of it.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's always so fun talking to you. So, We could do this for hours, but I guess we're going to move on because we get to talk to Lisa soon about the news. But listeners, just a quick reminder that the links to everything that we're talking about tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed and in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. It's time for a short commercial break. Up next is our new six Lisa bringing us your need-to-know news. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Our life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our new six Lisa on the line bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Lisa, what do you have for us this week?
Hi, Caroline and Courtney. TRICARE's retiree dental program is going away December 31st. This comes after Congress last year ordered the Defense Department to place users into the Federal Employee Dental and Vision Insurance Program, or FEDVIP, marketplace.
Wow, Lisa, so what does this mean for our retirees?
Well, it means retirees will have more choice over what their plan covers and how much they pay. But it also means they'll need to navigate a new system and a new set of rules.
Okay, Lisa, so what are some of these new rules that retirees have to follow in the new system?
That's a great question. First, retirees must pick a plan during open enrollment this year. Although TRICARE in the past allowed users to flit in and out of coverage for any reason, most civilian health care and dental plans don't allow that, including the plans available in the FedVIP marketplace. That means this year, retirees must select a plan during the annual open enrollment period.
Okay, so when is the annual open enrollment period? And can you tell us more about the set of rules for retirees?
Yes, the annual open enrollment period runs from November 12th to December 10th. Also, future changes must be paired with a qualifying life event. Other than open enrollment, the only time retirees will be permitted to make plan changes is if they have what's known as a qualifying life event. That could be something like move, changing jobs, or the birth of a baby. Listeners can see the FedVIP's qualifying life event list on its website. Another rule for retirees, and this is an important one, if you do nothing, you won't have coverage. TRICARE's retiree dental plan really is going away December 31st. Your coverage will not automatically roll over into another plan. That means if retirees don't select one during open enrollment, they won't have coverage. and they won't be able to select a new plan until open enrollment rolls around again next year, or they have one of those qualifying life events discussed earlier. It doesn't stop there. Those retiring before December 31st have an extra step. If you're retiring before December 31st, 2018, and want dental coverage before that date, you'll need to enroll in TRICARE's Retiree Dental Plan and then select a new plan during open enrollment. There's also some good news with the coming changes. You can compare plans now, sort of. The FedVIP marketplace is loaded with dental plan information today, but it might be a good idea to wait to do your serious comparison shopping and planning until later this year, because the system's annual enrollment fees and plan changes won't be released until October. Before then, you won't be able to get a totally accurate picture of which plan might be best for you.
Okay, Lisa, so what should retirees look for and be aware of when selecting their plans?
Look for sneaky plan waiting periods. If anyone in your family is receiving orthodontic care through TRICARE's Retiree Dental Plan, or you anticipate needing major dental work between December 31st of this year and December 31st of 2019, be extra careful to select the right plan, because many plans have a waiting period, some as long as a year, before they'll cover orthodontics or other major dental work. Just because you're receiving that care under the current TRICARE Retiree Dental Plan does not mean it will automatically be available for you without a wait under every new plan.
Wow. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for bringing us this story. Listeners, please stay tuned. After this short break, we will be talking with author Siobhan Fallon, joining us to discuss her book, The Confusion of Languages. We will be right back.
Here in the United States, our freedom and safety are made possible through the service and sacrifice of our military, first responders, and their families. The Gary Sinise Foundation shows its gratitude through concerts and festivals at bases around the globe, community outreach programs across the country, and building brand new custom smart homes for our most severely wounded veterans. Find out how you can join the cause. Donate at GarySiniseFoundation.org.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix. Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit VetTix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
A product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Caroline Schaefer.
And I am your co-host, Courtney Shepard. Joining us tonight is author Siobhan Fallon. Siobhan's new novel, The Confusion of Languages, is about two American Army spouses who find themselves navigating cultural miscommunications in Jordan during the Arab Spring. She is also the author of the award-winning You Know When the Men Are Gone, a collection of stories set at Fort Hood, Texas.
Siobhan's writing has appeared in the Washington Post magazine, Woman's Day, Good Housekeeping, Military Spouse magazine, Stars and Stripes, the Huffington Post, Prairie Schooner, among others. Siobhan's husband is an active duty officer in the United States Army, and they have moved 8 times since their marriage in Hawaii in 2004. She and her family are currently stationed in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates.
Welcome to the show, Siobhan.
Thank you, ladies. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening. Where are you calling from out there in Abu Dhabi?
Well, actually, I'm home for the summer in upstate New York in Highland Falls visiting my parents. So I'm sharing the rain with all you guys. Yeah.
Travel time.
I know. It's wonderful. It's cool. Much cooler than over in Abu Dhabi. Yeah.
Do you take a break from work when you travel, or do you take work with you when you travel?
Well, I have my 10-year-old and my 5-year-old, 2 daughters, so I'm juggling. So any work I do is awesome. So I can consider this work. My husband's actually here for the week on leave, so he's putting them to bed. So yeah, so this is sort of vacation, sort of work. Yeah. So I try and balance it out.
Can you tell us a little about your latest novel, The Confusion of Languages, and what inspired you to write it?
Sure. So the novel is set in Amman, Jordan, in the American embassy community there, and it's about two military spouses, women who are married to American soldiers who are stationed at the embassy. And it's set in 2011 during the Arab Spring, when sort of the whole region was starting to maybe unravel, maybe not, like no one quite knew what was going to happen. And one of the spouses goes missing, and the other spouse is frantically trying to figure out what happened and if she has any information about her friend's disappearance. So that's sort of the synopsis, and then the inspiration, you know, my husband and I, we were there in around the same time. I mean, I compressed the time period for the novel, but we spent a year in Jordan, and he was working at the embassy, and we were kind of watching events unfold, and I actually, our apartment was over the American embassy there. Like, I actually could see in behind the wall, so I had this perfect writerly view of things that were happening. So if there was a protest, or when Osama bin Laden was killed, like Jordanian forces came up in armored vehicles, you know, to protect our embassy, and just in case, but all of these things, I was like taking notes and thinking, someday I'm going to put this somewhere. So this is the fruition
someday
of
somebody has to read this somewhere. Yeah.
Here it is. Yeah.
For sure. It's going to be me. I'm going to write it. So your first collection of stories that you did, you know, when the men are gone, they're about Fort Hood, Texas.
Yes.
So were writing these stories different than when you were writing your novel?
There were definitely differences. I'm somebody who really likes to write about place, and I had lived in Fort Hood, Texas, and we were there for 3 years, and my husband deployed twice to Iraq out of Fort Hood, and he had previously deployed to Afghanistan. So I wanted to write stories about sort of the military family experience, and this was during the Petraeus surge in like 2007. So that was similar, and that one I was trying to capture like a military family experience, kind of similar to my own, but, you know, of course, fiction. But they were short stories, so they're like 15 to 30 pages instead of 300 pages. So I found
it
kind of a little easier. Yeah. But
is the writing process the same for you when you do something like short stories compared to a novel? Like, when you sit down to actually get it on paper, is it different?
It all is about time for me. And, I mean, any mom out there knows that. So I had one kid, or actually I was pregnant and then had a baby during the short story collection writing, which seemed insane. I didn't think I could ever write again or manage. And then now I have 2 kids, and I was pregnant actually with my 2nd daughter when I started this novel. So I had less time, which that's what I'm using as an excuse for my having taken much longer to write the novel. But I think when I have free time and I can lock the door and give the children some ice pops and crayons or whatever it takes and write, then that dictates how much I can do. So.
Amen.
Oh my goodness!
Take
so
this
besides,
and be quiet.
we were so talking about that before the show. So besides being a military spouse, is there any other reason that you decided to write about military life? Like, were you always Was it something you were always curious about anyways?
Yeah, I mean, I guess before I was a military spouse, I was a civilian, and even though I was raised sort of outside of West Point, the military academy, there's so little I knew, and that world just seemed so weird compared to, you know, my friends who didn't have a curfew and didn't wear a weird white uniform and only could walk up and down Main Street, you know, like, so it was an alien life. And then suddenly I was a part of it and seen into it and thought I should, like, share this and give other people insight into what is becoming normal to me, but still, I don't know, there's so little of an actual, like, a real authentic glimpse. And especially when I was writing those short stories, it was during the really high deployment cycles, and the media was showing just such tiny glimpses of, like, the homecoming ceremonies or the, you know, everyone saying goodbye and being on a big field and waving flags. But there was an entire year, you know, that for those military families, like, that was the hard part for us. It wasn't saying goodbye and saying hello again. It was the moments in between. And so I kind of wanted to show that and, like, shine a light on that.
So the research you do while you're writing your book, is a lot of it personal, and is some of it just like you were looking out your window, or what kind of research do you do?
I definitely research as much as I can. Back in 2006 and 2007, there was very little military spouse writing I could find, but I loved Alison Buchholz's memoir, Standing By. And Jahan Dubrow has a really incredible poetry collection, Stateside. And Tanya Bianc, you guys, I'm sure you've all read it, but Under the Sabers are the book that Army Wives was based on. So I was definitely, like, trying to get my hands on any spouse material at the time and see if our experiences were similar. And, and I always take notes. I always carry around little notebooks, and I don't want to call them journals because I'm not nearly that organized, but any, you know, like, just strange moments that would stick in my head, you know, whether it was, like, at a Burger King outside of Fort Hood when a bunch of soldiers are, like, joking around at a table, or how they're behaving with when suddenly a girl sits down with them versus, like, living in Jordan, you know, that there was a lot to write, you know, so I was just always taking notes of strange. I mean, there's actually a tourist agency called Titanic Tourism in Amman, Jordan. So, like, that, of course, was in my book. So, you know, just, like, odd things that I would put down on paper and then, like, keep for something to shuffle it in on some page. So it was a combination of, like, reading and Googling, and then also how I could spin, like, moments I had seen and, like, change it into something that was fiction.
Yeah. Have you always been a writer since you were little, younger?
Yeah. I was such a geek. Yeah. I never wanted to do anything but write or read. Get yelled at for it. My mom would take my books away. She'd go outside and play. So, yeah. So I definitely...
I feel you. I'm a journaler.
So she's proud now, I'm sure.
Know.
Well, so with your husband being active duty, what's his reaction? Like, when you started writing, what was his reaction to it, and how did he show his support to your work?
He's always been really supportive, and when he was trying to woo me way back. He had just graduated, and I was bartending, and he, like, claimed he was a poet, which I have learned he is not anything near a poet, but so I think he thought it was kind of cool, you know. He
That's
was
awesome.
Working his, you know, freshman lit class or whatever, 101, in any way he could. But he reads everything I write, you know. If it's military stuff, he's my advisor, and tells me, like, there's no self-respecting soldier who would ever use that word, or, you know, like, he's on top of it, trying to make it right. But with the novel, okay. Confusion of Languages, we were both in Jordan for the most part together, and he was really surprised when he read it, and as he said, like, here he was, an American man in Amman, Jordan, or in the Middle East, and I was with him, I was an American woman, and our experiences were just so vastly different, and so he was kind of shocked to see a woman's like view of life in the Middle East at that time.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I really want to hear more. So I want to hear more about that. What was different about it? That, without telling us too much about the book, of course, I don't want to give it away, but how different was it for you?
I think,
for him? Did you realize it was as different as he realized it was?
I think I realized more was different than he was. I mean, I knew that I had to wear, you know, long sleeve shirts no matter how hot it was, and was always very aware of, you know, people looking at me, and I had my daughter was 3 going on 4 at the time, and I always felt much more comfortable having my daughter around as like a little mascot, you know, and people immediately treated me differently as a mother versus as like maybe a single woman or an unmarried one. Like as soon as they realized that I had a child with me, like they could be much more welcoming and friendly and not be afraid that I would misconstrue their friendliness, you know? So there was everybody was just much more aware of gender and trying to behave cautiously, I guess, is a word for it. And that's something I wanted to play with in the book. Cause I have one character who just doesn't think twice about anything. She just wants to embrace life, and she just wants to be friends with everybody, and she doesn't realize the repercussions of maybe being too friendly in some situations in a way she wouldn't. She would do in America, no problem, but here, where in Amman, where the expectations are a little different, or the relationships between men and women, she might, you know, miscommunicate certain things.
Right. Well, so speaking of gender, so we do have to take a quick break, but when we come back, kind of that, how do you balance that whole, I'd like to ask you some questions about balancing a successful career as a writer and then moving around and being a military spouse. So will you come back with us and answer some more questions after this little break?
Absolutely. Love to. Thank you.
Okay. Wonderful. Sure. So listeners, if you're listening to our show live right now, we'd love for you to join us in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN core team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and be sure to use the hashtag ArmyWife to participate. All the links mentioned in the show tonight will be posted in our Twitter feed as well as in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. August is Immunization and Influenza Vaccine Awareness Month. We want to remind you that the flu season is around the corner and that the 2018-2019 influenza vaccine will be available in October. While you're getting your flu shot, this is a great time to make sure all of your other vaccines are up to date. The flu shot saves lives, and getting this vaccine protects you, your loved ones, and other people around you. Vaccines have nearly eliminated many damaging and deadly diseases, such as polio and measles. And remember that if you are traveling, there are additional vaccines like the typhoid fever vaccine that can help protect you. To find out more about the flu vaccine and other immunizations, contact your military treatment facility or ask your primary care provider. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength since 1775.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking with author Siobhan Fallon about her latest novel, The Confusion of Languages. Siobhan, before we went to break, we were talking about kind of how your husband supports you and then the surprise with the new book and all that. And then I asked you if you could share with us how you balance being a writer as a career and then the moving and being a military spouse. So do you have any kind of, these are my secrets in my toolkit that I have to go to survive and to balance all this?
I wish I did. I mean, I feel like that is the age-old question, huh, of being a...
It is.
A mother, having a job, you know, trying to do what you think a good spouse should do, and then you throw in the moves that military spouses make. I mean, it's a wild ride. But I'm very fortunate that I am a writer, so my job is fairly mobile. You know, I have a laptop. I have those notebooks I mentioned. I can go take it with me. And I'm inspired by travel. So... I'm so lucky. I mean, I feel like it's a miracle for me that I can manage to get all those things to sort of work and create something that generates not very much money, but at least a little bit. I feel like I'm producing something for the family. But, yeah, but, I mean, maybe that's just part of military spouse life, right, is just trying to be resilient and thinking on your feet and adapting to these crazy environments that the Army, the military puts us in, and so many people do it, you know, you guys, I mean, here you are, you're sharing all this information with thousands of women. That's incredible. It's a genius thing to do. So we just try, everyone's trying in their own way to muddle along and find a way to feel like they're creating something. I don't know. Please, you tell me. Somebody's got to tell me. I mean, yeah. Somebody's got to have it figured out for us. I don't know.
No, it's true. I mean, well, I was wondering. So you said you've kind of always been a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So did you? When did you publish like your first story? The first time your writing got published, was it before or after you became a military spouse?
It was before. It was right after I graduated college. I was sending out, like, these really weird, creepy science fiction fantasy short stories, and I got a couple of them in, like, strange magazines that somebody was, like, photocopying in their basement at that time. So,
okay.
But it was, like, my first taste, you know, that it was possible. So I don't even know where any of those quote-unquote magazines are, and I probably wouldn't want to show my mother anyway. But anyway, so it's been like a kind of slow, gradual thing. And then I got an MFA in creative writing, and it was right after I had gotten that. And so when I had decided, like, I've just spent a lot of money on this degree, I better actually do something with it and, like, dedicate myself to make the time to really focus on writing. And that also happens to be around the time I met my husband. So I wanted to do it, but it took a really long time. Yeah, knock on wood. So far, so good.
Well, do you think with your books, have you found which audiences? Do you have more military or civilian audiences kind of gravitating to your books, or is it just like a plethora of everything or everyone?
Yeah, I wasn't sure when I was writing the stories. I didn't know if military folk would be upset with me for writing about our lives and not read it, or civilians would be like, "Why, this is makes absolutely no sense to me. What are all these, you know, acronyms? This is crazy." But I've been really lucky, and I've gotten a lot of support from both military and civilian readers alike. And I think with both books, like I was sort of nervous each time they came out to see what the reception would be, and with the confusion of languages, you know, like embassies, a lot of embassy book clubs have picked it up, and book clubs in America and like tiny rural places that I'm just really surprised that when I get a random email from them. So you never know. I mean, I'm just hoping that I can keep writing things that people don't get too upset about for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so what, before I ask you my question, I really wanted to ask you this first, was as a writer, what makes you go, because like for a journaler like me, I know what I'm going to journal about every day. I sit down, whatever's in my head, I put it in the book, right? But how, for you as a writer, I know you get inspired, but what clicks in your mind that says, I'm going to make that a story? Or is it like a collection of time where maybe your thoughts kind of collect all at once?
Yeah, so when I was writing the stories, and this kind of goes back to your question about the difference between them, like I remember so clearly being at Fort Hood, and it was like Battalion Avenue mm-hmm. or something, and waiting for a young soldier to cross the street, and he had one of those big medical boots on. Mm-hmm. And I watched him slowly cross, and as he was crossing, like in my mind, like I had all these different scenarios of like, how did he get like that? What happened when he came home? Does he have a wife? You know, will can he continue yeah. to be in the military? And in that like 10 seconds,
kind of like a what's sort the of, story kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And just
like the game.
What? Yeah, right. And that yeah, became a story, really. You know, so sometimes it's something tiny like that that just sparks, and then I can't. And I want to know. You know, I'm telling myself a story. Like, I want to know mm-hmm. the ending, too. Just, especially in writing The Confusion of Languages, like, that's a 300-page book. I mean, there was a lot I could shove yeah. in there. And I wrote it so many times, you know, and pulling things in and right. pulling them out and kind of wanted to know the motivation of these characters. And it's fun and exciting to write. And I don't know. So it's an adventure for me to sort of go on as, like, a kind of geeky, mm-hmm. shy person who likes to read a lot of books. Like, yeah. I'm entertaining yes. myself at the same time.
For sure. We spoke about your audience being, you know, between military and civilian readers alike. So you rely on social media platforms to reach or even grow to a wider audience?
I do, especially living in Abu Dhabi, 7,000 miles mm-hmm. away from, you know, my writer, civilian friends at least, who, you know, usually are in the East Coast or New York. So I'm not that good at it. I mean, I'm learning. Like, I've only been doing Instagram, I think, since January, which probably tells you all how old I am as well as what a Luddite I am. But I do, and you guys, it was really fascinating what you were talking about earlier about how lonely we can be versus if it actually fosters connection.
Yeah.
So for me as a writer, I mean, it's pretty necessary because there are very few ways I can be in touch with readers and try and, like, mm-hmm. get them interested in what I'm working on. So I've loved it. And yeah. certain things, I mean, in the military spouse world, it's a way for me to stay in touch with everyone else who keeps moving in different places. So I'm a fan so far. Until I really mess up.
Speaking of
Instagram,
fans.
Yes.
I totally messed it up. I know. Well, I feel like I'm doing that all the time, so I just took a break from it. So, speaking of fans, which of your books is your favorite one? This is a
my
question
book?
From our listener.
Oh, my gosh. Who asked that? Wow. gosh. I don't know. I think maybe The Confusion of Languages right now because it still feels very new to me.
Is it like your baby?
Yeah. I mean, they're both my baby, though. That's why it's a horrible question. So whoever's out there,
yeah.
I'm shaking my finger at them. It's like asking which daughter is my favorite. I mean, it depends on that whoever had the temper that day. I don't know.
oh, right. Well, this is the
yes.
second question from the listeners. Do you
Please.
Have a favorite character or one you identify with more than another character?
Ooh, in the novel, you think?
That you relate with. Yeah.
Okay.
In the novel. Probably.
So there are two military spouses in the book, and Cassie is one of them,
mm-hmm.
and she's the one who's more wants to stay inside the American world and not kind of travel outside of her comfort zone. And Margaret is the one who is more reckless. So I think the character I sympathize with the most is Margaret because she tries so hard to, like, make connections with Jordanians,
yeah.
with local people and strangers. You know, she wants to bridge the gap. But
right.
I know my mom read the book, Confusion of Languages, and she told me that I was just like Cassie, that she could hear my voice. And Cassie can
mm-hmm.
be really nasty, so it sort of broke my heart that my mother said that. But I think I might be a little of both without wanting to admit it, but the character I sympathize with, I think, is Margaret. So that was I was trying to be very diplomatic there, I think,
yes.
and not throw
think,
any of my characters too much under the bus.
Yes. I think with lots of fiction writers, I've seen it somewhere, read it somewhere, or even heard it somewhere probably, that even if there's characters even of an opposite gender of the author or what have you, or maybe a different demographic, there's always a little voice of the author in the character.
And yeah. I heard that somewhere. And maybe that's just where your voice came out and what really was more like you, you know.
Yeah, and even if you want to make fun of it, because, you know, we poke fun at it and, like, exaggerate it. You know, that's part of the fun is making fun of yourself, too. So.
Right.
We'll see.
Sure.
I mean,
for
unfortunately, I don't write about serial killers, and I think my answer would be very different.
That is definitely true.
Yeah,
definitely.
Wherever a Game of Thrones, man.
Oh, my goodness, right?
Yes.
Oh,
glad he's not my neighbor.
Oh, my. There's some. We're going to figure out who's
dark.
That one.
Yes.
Just which character do you feel most connected to? Wow. So, speaking of military spouses, especially ones you connect with,
yes.
And let's talk about some other military spouse authors like yourself. Mm. So who are some other military spouse authors that their work you would recommend for our listeners to also read?
Andrea Williams. She is a Navy spouse, and she does a military spouse book review blog, which is just awesome. And she's really involved in both, like, the military world, but, like, the military spouse world, and making connections mm-hmm. and helping everyone else's work and whatever their form of art and writing and reading. So I think everyone who's listening should just go and follow her. It's Andrea Williams, and she's mm-hmm. also a novelist and wrote a really fabulous novel called The Longest Night that came out last year. And it's one of the only fatal nuclear accidents in America, so, and it's set on an American base. So she's just great. She's wonderful and just a good,
awesome.
Brilliant person. Yeah, she's awesome. And then, Terry Barnes. So I think in your next episode, you guys are talking about the book Season of My Military Student. And mm-hmm. Terry Barnes, she's part of the publishing mm-hmm. group that put that out there. But she's got a bunch of nonfiction books that are just really wonderful and about, you know, our military families and that sort of thing. Kathleen Rogers, she writes fiction. She's got a series out now. Lisa Stice writes poetry. I mean, there's so many of us. It's awesome. Victoria Kelly, she writes poetry and fiction. M.L. Doyle, she's a military family member, and she writes mysteries. So it's exciting. Like, there are a lot of writers coming out of the military spouse world. Yeah, it's incredible. Makes me happy, yeah.
Even not fiction writers, like bloggers, like
exactly.
bloggers, and there's plenty of military spouses mm-hmm. out there that blog and put out their own take on military life and being military spouses, and some of them are even, you know, military moms, you know, their sons mm-hmm. and daughters are enlisted in the military, and they give their perspective on things, which is a very wide demographic now. Many, many, you know, Army moms and Navy moms and Air Force moms and dads and, you know, they're all coming together as a community, not just spouses. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, so let's talk about, I want to know what you're currently working on. You can give us a little tidbit about, the plot thickens.
Yeah. Well, when you guys asked about if I'm getting any work done, so what I'm trying to do while I'm home is do a lot of research, because I envision mm-hmm. writing about military spouse life back during the Civil War and the Indian Wars, so end of the 1800s.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, we think we have it rough, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, I do. I complain about it all the time. But, you know, I mean, in comparison, like, these spouses, they were, like, pioneers, like, literally just going in the middle of nowhere and setting down just to follow their husbands and the lives mm-hmm. they led, and they were so afraid, but they were so brave, and sewed their own clothes. I mean, just, I don't know. I love it.
It's
so
crazy,
that's
right? It's crazy.
Yes!
Especially hearing from older spouses.
Oh,
my husband's family, we have family down in the Florida area, and mm-hmm. Her name was Great Aunt Gertrude. She was, like, the longest living relative on that side, and she was an Army wife, and we were actually stationed at Fort Bragg, where Caroline is right now. And she said, you know, we went down there to visit, and we were sitting down at breakfast, and she said she wanted to sit next to me because I was the Army wife. And she said, you know, I used to be an Army wife.
And I was stationed at Fort Bragg, and she was 97, 98
oh
years old,
God.
Even that far. I'm like, she said, you know, we didn't have all the things
yes.
that we have now.
Give
and
me
I'm
her
like,
phone
oh,
number.
I want to know more, right? Well, she's passed on.
No, I'm kidding, but you need to write about Aunt Gertrude. That's awesome.
I know. Yes, and it's just, it's mm-hmm. awesome to hear those stories, you know,
yeah.
the real stories, too. It's amazing about just
mm-hmm.
just not short of maybe half a century ago, they were going through these
right,
things. And it's
right.
crazy how things change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandmother has stories like that, too, about my grandfather and the Battle of Iwo Jima
it.
And Korea War
yeah.
and how
yeah.
they moved every 2 years and how my grandpa was Chessie Puller. So anybody that's Marine
oh
knows
my
that name.
Gosh. Yes.
His first
oh my
aid,
gosh.
But then he wasn't in his book, and it broke my grandfather's heart. But I have a picture
oh.
of, this, of General Chessie Puller and my grandfather together. So
wow.
I feel like every time I'm
wow.
around Marine, I need a button that says, my grandfather
works
for
yes, you need a button.
Because they're like, it's
yes,
you're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Oh,
yes.
my gosh.
Yeah, she's passed on, too, but I do have a lot of her stories because we would sit and,
wow.
and talk about it. And
yeah.
yeah, because my husband was there for the invasion and had just mm-hmm. joined the Army at that point. And yeah, there is, those were, we were just talking about long deployments. I know Courtney's
yeah.
going to finish up one. And ours were, so, what, 13 months, 15 months, 12
oh,
months,
like, exactly,
and 7
right?
months. And, yeah, and but I told somebody the other day, like, it still is a deployment. I mean, a deployment is a deployment
right.
is a deployment.
Right, right,
and
exactly.
And you're still,
amen.
You're still separated.
Mm-hmm.
You're still
yeah.
apart, you know. Mm-hmm. And we could talk to you for another hour or more.
I know.
Sure.
I know. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun. So, of course, now I've tried to take as many notes as I could, but, of course, the podcast we can listen to anytime after this to get all the information about your books and then the people you recommended. But where can our listeners go to get your book and to learn more about you?
Well, I have a website, of course, SiobhanFallon.com. But my book, it should be, I mean, I'm crossing my fingers right now. You can't see it, but it should be everywhere. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's at airports, you know. So
okay.
I hope
okay.
so. And it's on Amazon, of course, you know. So The Confusion of Languages
sure.
should be on the shelves. It just came out this summer, and it's in paperback. But,
okay.
yeah, you can get both online, just, again, Amazon, any indie bookstore, they can order it. So, yeah. And then, of course, I have links on that webpage and you can find me pretty easily. I just have a crazy Irish name. It's just hard to spell, but I'm there. Yes.
Well, I think I speak for Courtney and myself and the whole team. I know her and I thoroughly enjoyed our time with you this evening, and we thank you so
thank
much
you.
For sharing your stories with us and your. And it's just been, it's been wonderful Army wife camaraderie. Can I say that? Is that?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you. Thanks for joining us so much. Thank you.
Thanks, Caroline. Thanks, Courtney. You guys are
thank
awesome.
You.
Thanks for everything you do. So that's part of it, right? I mean, creating this community and however we can do it, it's wonderful. So thanks for working hard for military
yeah.
spouses. You rock.
Sure. Thank you. So do you. So, listeners, go purchase her book. And then thank you. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. And the next week, as she was saying, she kind of gave us a little heads up there. August 20th, 2018,
mm-hmm.
we will be discussing the seasons of My Military Students, Practical Ideas for Parents and Teachers with featured guests, Amanda Tremillos and Stacey Hussman. I'm probably not saying that right, so forgive me, Stacey. I will get it right by next week. It's going to be another informative and empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
All right, guys, and in the meantime, you can join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors or follow along on any of our social media outlets, such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Your interactive empowerment
for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD,
any local government, or their agencies.
Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com.
Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.